You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
My name's Chris Hardy. I'll be taking us through Mark chapter 4. We'll be studying tonight the parable of the soils. Many of you are probably familiar with that. It's usually called the parable of the sower. But I think what we'll find in our study here today that the soils actually are what is drawing all of the attention. So let's turn to Mark chapter 4. We read in verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there while the whole crowd was on the shore by the lake. Such a large crowd. We're talking about maybe hundreds of people sitting on the shore. Jesus was getting so crammed, so packed in there, that his disciples pulled a boat up on the shore so he could sit down in the boat just on the lake and teach the crowd from that setting. Pretty interesting to note that Jesus would teach to large crowds like this. But as we'll see in this passage, the large crowds didn't quite understand everything that Jesus was saying. And so Jesus took the message and then brought it to his closest disciples, the 12, and gave them some further instruction because they were the ones that were really interested in what was going on. Well, we read, he taught them many things in parables. Parables. So Mark here in chapter 4 is going to roll out several parables. This is kind of Mark's parable chapter. So we may ask ourselves, okay, well, what's a parable? A parable is the word in Greek is parabole. It's a cognate of two Greek words, para meaning alongside, and ballo, meaning to place or to throw. It's where we get our English word ball from. And it's essentially what the term means is to take two like things and to place them alongside one another in comparison. It's an analogy that's spoken through a teaching or through a story. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's going to give us a story that gives that has deeper meaning and that will give us some further insight into God's word. And in this teaching, he said to them, and so Jesus begins. We read in verse 3, Jesus says, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came along and devoured it. He begins with listen. He's calling his audience in. He's about to tell them something really important. He says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it did not have sufficient root, it withered away. Sprang up quickly, the sun scorched it out. Other seed fell along the thorns. They grew up and choked it, and it did not produce grain. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good soil. It produced grain, sprouting, growing, yielding 30 times as much, 60, and even 100 times. So here we have these four different analogies, these four examples of grain having been scattered on four different types of soils. Jesus says, whoever has ears had better listen. And so if that first note, that first mark that Jesus gave to us at the beginning of this story, where he called out to the crowd, listen, if that wasn't enough, he reminds them again, whoever has ears had better listen to this. Now, there was nobody sitting in that audience that didn't have ears. He's calling on something more than hearing here. And throughout chapter 4 of Mark, we'll see repeatedly Jesus brings this same kind of thing up over and again. It's not enough to just merely hear sound entering into our eardrums and our brain processing that. He's calling on something deeper than that. He's calling on listening. There's a process of actually taking in what's being taught, chewing on it, so to speak, right? Thinking about it, processing it mentally. Jesus is saying, you better listen to what I have to say here. Well, when he was alone, after the crowds had dispersed, perhaps his disciples had gotten in the boat and they had, you know, sailed off to another part of the shore, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. So Jesus is now with his small crowd of his closest disciples. The crowds had left. And here he's now with them, talking to them about the parable that he just gave. He said to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything is in parables. And so he's drawing a line in the sand here. He's saying, you guys are here with me. You're interested in what I have said. You're interested in knowing the deeper meaning of this story that I've given you. But those who are outside, they're not interested. They're not here with us right now. They haven't sought out this knowledge, this understanding from what he's been saying. So that although they may look but not see. And although they may hear but not understand, so that they may not repent and be forgiven. And here Jesus is quoting directly from Isaiah chapter 6, where he's pointing out that, yes, it's possible, very possible to hear many things, but to not understand those things. There's a difference, Jesus is pointing out. There's a difference between hearing something and understanding it. And that's where listening comes in. We read in Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew's account of this same parable, Jesus said, for this reason I speak to them in parables. Although they see, they do not see. And although they hear, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so this idea of understanding, of processing, taking in, considering, applying to yourself, to others around you, that's what Jesus is really getting at here. That's what he's calling for from his audience. And so essentially what Jesus is doing here is he's leaving the decision up to the hearer. See, God respects the free will that he's given to us. He respects the dignity in allowing us to make our own decisions. God could force us. He could make us understand these things. But instead, he's decided to work through the human heart. As deceived and as off base as our heart can be at times, God still has chosen to work through our heart to really reach the root of the issue in our lives. And so for this reason, Jesus is saying, it's up to you as a hearer, as a listener, whether or not you want to understand what's being said. Some of you are familiar with the famous documentary from the late 90s, The Matrix, where in this scene, Morpheus is talking with Neo, the chosen one, and he's asking him if he would like deeper insight, deeper wisdom into how this matrix of the world around him works. And he gives him the choice between two separate pills. He says, take the one and have your eyes open to understand what this matrix, this world is really about. Take the other one, and you'll wake up in your bed tomorrow morning with a little bit of a hangover, and you'll forget everything about what's just happened. And so in the same way that Jesus is allowing his hearers to decide whether or not they want a little bit more information, we see that analogy played out here from the Matrix. He said to them, you don't understand this parable? Then how will you understand any parable? Interesting. So his disciples, either he's reading it on their faces, or maybe perhaps some of them have said, what does this mean? We don't understand. They're asking for further clarification, which seems likely. But Jesus points out, if you don't understand this parable, then how will you understand any parable? This is the only time Jesus says this about one of his parables. He's essentially saying to understand this one, this parable of the soils, is a key to unlocking the rest of the subsequent parables that he's going to go on to teach. And so really getting the deeper meaning behind this, to take that in, to learn what Jesus is saying here, he's saying is essential. We must understand what he means by this. And so he goes on with the explanation. In verse 14, the sower sows the word. And so the first thing that Jesus explains here in this parable is the word, right? The sower, what's he sowing? The seed that's being scattered out is the word of God. We're told in Luke's account, chapter 8, the seed is the word of God. Or in Matthew's account, chapter 13, the message about the kingdom. The seed that's being scattered out on the soils is God's revealed truth. What God has decided to communicate to human beings, this is to be understood as the seed. He says, these are the ones on the path where the word is sown. And so now he gets to the first soil. He says, whenever they hear, immediately Satan comes and snatches the word that was sown in them. And so as this revealed truth, the seed of God's message, the gospel of Christ, as it falls on the hard-packed soil, the seed is unable to penetrate the soil. It's unable to sprout roots and to grow up. And so as a result, it doesn't grow at all. Jesus illuminates this. He says, this is like when his truth, the message of his salvation goes out. the enemy, Satan, the old adversary, the devil, comes and snatches that revealed truth away from the person who is listening, the hearer. Notice that he says this can happen immediately. In the blink of an eye, it's as though somebody hears about the truth of God, they hear about the truth of Christ, the gospel, the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he wants a relationship with us, the fact that God loves us so much that he would come down and take our place on the cross and rise from the dead, giving us that incredible option to be risen from the dead as well, to join him in eternity. And Satan hears that that's going out, and he quickly jumps out and pulls that truth away from the person who's hearing the word so they can't understand what's going on. In Matthew, we read, the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. And so here we're given a little bit more information about what this soil is. The soil is the human heart. Each individual person, they hear the message about who Christ is, what he's done for them. They hear God's truth. It lands in their heart. In this case, in this first soil, it's as though it hits the heart and bounces right off, and Satan grabs it and runs away with it. It's not able to take root and get planted at all. And so what we have here is an example of a hardened heart. Jesus is describing a kind of person here whose heart has become so callous, so hardened, that when the truth is actually given to the individual, they're unable to hear it. They're unable to process it. Maybe they're not interested in it. Whatever the case may be, the enemy seizes the opportunity and snatches that seed, snatches the word away from the person so it won't get planted in their heart. We read in Luke's account, those along the path are the ones who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See, this is the enemy's prerogative. This is his motivation. He wants human beings to not believe. And so through a multitude of ways, many different ways, the enemy will try and get us to not believe what's happening. To get us, in other words, to choose the pill that causes us to just wake up and forget the whole thing. He says, these are the ones sown on rocky ground. So now we come to the second soil, the rocky ground. As soon as they hear the word, they receive it with joy. And so right off the bat, we notice the difference between the first and the second one, whereas in the first soil, it's hardened, it bounces off, Satan snatches it. In this one, it lands on rocky ground, so roots are able to start growing to some extent. And as a result, they receive it with joy. This is a person who hears the message, understands on some level, maybe it's just a cursory level, but it brings them joy because they realize that it's something that they need, something that they want. But, Jesus tells us, they have no root in themselves and do not endure. Then, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they fall away. And so this seed cast on the rocky soil, he's saying this is like when trouble or persecution sprouts up. Many of us are familiar with what it's like, and our fellow brothers and sisters around the world are aware of what this means, to be trying to walk with God, to try to follow God with your life. But because you're following God, notice that he says, because of the word, persecution, trouble, strife, difficulties come up in our life. And rather than enduring, rather than allowing God to develop our hearts, develop our minds, work in our lives, it's much easier for us to just turn and run away. Say that, you know, screw this. I've had enough. This is too much. It's gotten difficult. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And as a result, Jesus says they immediately fall away. But notice what he says here. They have no root in themselves and do not endure. If we think that we can just go out, follow God from our own effort, from our own self-will, from our own, you know, picking ourselves up by our bootstraps, we're going to muscle through this. Jesus is warning us here. He's saying, it doesn't work. You can't plant roots in yourself. Jesus is asking for us to plant those in him. He is the foundation. He is the bedrock. He is the one who wants to give us the fertile soil to be able to grow in him. As Jesus says in John 15, abide in me And this is the same principle here. If we think that we can do it just of our own effort, by ourselves, out in the world on our own, what we have really is a paradox. We have an example of somebody who claims to follow Christ, and yet they're trying to do it all on their own. The Bible says that's not even what a Christian is. God has given us rich community to develop in. He's given us an incredible message in His Bible so we can learn the scriptures. We can grow with one another. We can use spiritual giftings that He gives to us to benefit the greater body of Christ, and so on the list goes. But we cannot do this in ourselves. And so what we have here is an example of the shallow heart. The shallow heart. The message comes, it brings joy, but quickly something gets in the way, and we say, forget this, I'm going the other way. And we leave it behind. The shallow heart. He now gets to the third seed, the third soil. He says, others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but worldly cares, the seductiveness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it produces nothing. And so here, the seed that falls amongst the thorns, we're told that they hear the word. So this type of heart, this is somebody who hears the word. Maybe they take it in. Yeah, perhaps it brings them joy as well, like the previous soil. We're not told. But they hear the word. We know that. And yet, it's lost quickly. There's an interesting story that's told about FDR when he was president. He started getting sick and tired of yes men and women around him just nodding. And yes, Mr. President, yeah, telling him exactly what he wanted to hear. And so he had a dinner party coming up. And he decided that during the dinner party, every person that he shook hands with, everyone that he went around and, you know, that wanted to come up to him and tell him something, he was going to tell them, oh, it's nice to meet you. Yes, I killed my grandmother this morning. Well, here he is at the dinner party, and politicians are coming up. You know, oh, Mr. President, oh, it's so good to see you. Yes, oh, we're so happy with what you're doing. We were wondering if you could help us get this bill passed and blah, 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 and the list goes on. And FDR smiled and shook their hand and said, yes, I killed my grandmother this morning. So, oh, thank you very much, Mr. President. Okay, we'll talk later. And they go on. And person after person that FDR spoke with at this party, you know, wealthy donors coming up to him. Oh, Mr. President, oh, it's so good to see you. Shakes their hand. Yes, well, we're thinking about investing in this new thing. And we were wondering if you would be willing to back us and so forth. FDR smiles, puts out his hand. I killed my grandmother this morning. People smile. Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Okay, move on. And FDR realized his great fear that people weren't actually listening to what he was saying. Until at the very end of the night, a foreign dignitary was there. And FDR at this point was pretty saddened by his new realization. The foreign dignitary came up to FDR. He shook his hand. FDR smiles back and says the part, you know, his line that he's been saying all night. Oh, I killed my grandmother this morning. The foreign dignitary pauses, unlike all of the others that had shook his hand earlier that night. And FDR looks at his face. He can tell he's thinking for a moment. He's wondering if maybe this is the man that actually heard what he said. And the dignitary replies, well, Mr. President, I guess she must have had it coming to her then. So FDR realized, just as we do, someone can say something and it goes in our ears. Our ears work just fine, but we're not listening. We're not processing it. We're not actually putting together the pieces that make us understand what's happening. And so just like Jesus' warning here with this third soil, planted amongst thorns, worldly cares, things in the world that we are preoccupied with, whether that's our career, whether that's our school, whether that's relationships, things that we devote all of our time and attention to while at the same time neglecting God, pushing Him aside. So the seductiveness of wealth. Boy, Jesus had a lot to say about this. The rest of the New Testament has quite a bit to say about the seductiveness of wealth. Paul points out to his buddy Timothy that it's like a snare. It's a trap waiting to get somebody and make them totally ineffective for God. The desire for other things. You know, Jesus tells us concerning wealth in Matthew chapter 6, that we cannot serve two masters. Either we will love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You cannot serve both God and money. And this is exactly what he's saying in this case. The seed that sprouts up, but it's amongst all of these thorns, all of these things in the world that draw our attention away, that produce different desires other than God, and they choke out the love of what God has done for us, the truth of his word. It chokes the words. So these things, the way Jesus is describing it, it's as though you've got a fighter. He gets him on the mat, and rather than, you know, pinning him, he starts choking the guy. Chokes him out. He can't breathe. He's gasping for breath until he just, boom, he passes out, and that's it. This is what these other things will do to our spiritual lives, will do to our hearts. It chokes out God's truth, so we can't actually find the fulfillment and the joy and the reality that comes from knowing Jesus in a living, vibrant kind of a way. And so what we have here is the crowded heart, a heart that is trying to compartmentalize God in such a way that I want this and I want the other thing and I'm pursuing this and so forth. And God, he has his place, whether that's, you know, Thursday night or whether that's Sunday morning, wherever, whatever it may be, he has his place. But these other things are kind of crowding him out so that God can't take his rightful place in our hearts. And then he comes to the final soil. He says, these are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and receive it and bear fruit. One 30 times as much, 160, and 100 times. And so here he's saying, okay, this is the one that actually lands. This is the one that develops a root system, that gets the nutrients that it needs, that's able to grow up and bear fruit as a result. And it's because this human heart hears the word, but doesn't just merely hear it and let it go out the other ear and be replaced with something else. They hear the word and receive it. Receive here. This is an element of believing. The Bible tells us that as many as call out to Christ and receive him, he gives the gift of eternal life. This is an act of the will where we decide inwardly, personally, I want to receive what God is offering me here, whether that is the initial receiving of the message and forgiveness of Jesus through the cross, the promise of resurrection, or whether that's receiving the ability to keep moving forward in our relationship with God, maturing and growing spiritually. The good soil receives God's word, receives his truth. And so we have here in our fourth and final soil, the receptive heart. God desires for us to receive this message, to contemplate it. He's not saying just believe it right off the bat without ever thinking about it. That would be no different than having it, hearing it, and then losing it, you know, 2 seconds later. He wants us to process these things. He's given us a human mind in such a way to be able to think and consider what he's saying here. Does it line up with reality? Do I feel like I'm really hearing from God on this? Does it apply to my life? God says that when we actually consider these things, we're receiving this message, and that leads to belief. That leads to really deciding, okay, I've considered these things. This isn't just blind faith. I'm not just taking a blind leap in the dark. I've considered what God has presented here, and I'm deciding, yeah, I want that. I'm going to receive that in my life. In Luke's account, we read, but as for the seed that landed on good soil, these are the ones who, after hearing the word, cling to it with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with steadfast endurance. Notice the language, clinging to the thing, steadfast endurance. It's not enough to just, oh, it produces joy in my life until it doesn't anymore. It's not enough to say, oh, well, this is nice, but I also want these other things. Jesus is teaching us here that when we hear this message, we should cling to it. We receive it, and it requires endurance. Because life isn't easy. God never promises that once we begin a relationship with him that everything will be fine. He's telling us it's going to require endurance. We're going to need to cling to this truth and receive this in our hearts. And as a result, he tells us, you will bear fruit. Bearing a fruit. In this context, I think what Jesus is getting at is bearing fruit in regards to spiritual maturity, in growing closer to God, in living a life that isn't all about taking in for self, but about giving out to other people. Knowing that God will backfill us so that we are never running dry. We're never going to be running empty. He's going to come in and take care of us every time. He'll pick us up. He'll dust us off. We may have to learn through trials. We may have to suffer through different issues in life, but God will be right there to hold us, to take us along to the next step. And this is the kind of spiritual fruit that God wants to bear in each of our lives. He wants to work with us in such a way that our mind is transformed, so we don't passively just accept what the world tells us, but we actually can know God and have him transform our lives in a real, lasting way. And notice the fruit that's born here, 30, 60, 100 times, 100-fold. See, in ancient Israel, it would be remarkable and usual, really, typical for a farmer to get a 6 to 8-fold return on what they've planted. If they got a 10-fold return on what they planted, that would be practically miraculous. Jesus is talking about a return on their planting 30, 60, or 100 times as much. Unheard of. And so, as a result, we can expect God to be a generous giver in our lives. He's not limited by resources like we are. He's not limited by knowledge like we are. God is a loving God with unlimited ability and resources, and he's a giver. And when he rewards well. And so, as we consider these soils, we realize the problem wasn't with the sower. You know, later Jesus explains that he is the sower. He's the one going out and spreading the word about his forgiveness, about the kingdom of God. And as a result, his disciples would become sowers as well, going out and letting people know about what Jesus did for him. And then even further, as a result, all disciples, all followers of Christ can be sowers as well, spreading this message of God's incredible love and grace. And the problem in this analogy, in this parable, is never with the sower. The problem also isn't with the seed. It's not with the message. The problem here is not that God's word or God's truth to us somehow doesn't have an effect. In each one of these, it has an effect. The problem is with the soil. The problem is with the receptiveness of the human heart, our human condition. Jeremiah tells us that the human heart is utterly deceitful and lost. Who can understand it? And when we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit, there are many things in my heart that could easily lead me astray. Jesus is reminding us through this parable, through this analogy, that the soil of our heart, depending on how receptive it is to his revealed truth, can actually bring about incredible joy and lasting fulfillment in our life. And so we have our four responses here. The solid soil is the hard heart. The scorched soil is the shallow heart. The smothered soil, right? You have all the thorns crowding out and stealing nutrients, the crowded heart. And finally, the successful soil is clearly the receptive heart, the heart willing to receive what Jesus is revealing, what he's willing to teach us, the person who's saying, yeah, I'm interested in that. I want to learn a little bit more. So wherever the word of God is spread, then we can deduce from this passage, the biggest issue is with how receptive the heart is, which means that the issue is never with the message. It's never with wondering, I don't know if this is powerful enough. I don't know if this has words that lead to life or joy. God says, no, you can bank on that. It does. The receptive heart is the issue. Each individual person that hears this message has to make that decision for themselves. And I want you to consider this as well. Rather than thinking of these four soils as a permanent response, as somebody permanently responding as hardened or distracted and so on, it's better to think of it as a current condition of the soil, a current condition of the human heart. For myself, for a long time, I had the hardened heart where the message of truth was being given to me. I was hearing it. It was bouncing right off and getting lost, being snatched away by the enemy as though there were a cloud or a veil or a fog over the message. And I didn't understand it for years until eventually one of these diligent sowers spoke the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that I too could go to heaven by receiving his gift of eternal life. And it sunk. It landed. It landed in a heart that had slowly been broken down, slowly softened by God, by the Holy Spirit in my life. And that once hardened heart was turned into a receptive heart. And so I would encourage you, as you work with people that God has put in your life, as you consider how this may apply to your own life, consider how God may want to change your heart, how God may be at work in your life, how he may be trying to help your heart become more receptive to this message. Billy Graham says it better than just about anybody. He said, "The harvest is always urgent. The destiny of men and of nations is always being decided. Every generation is strategic. We are not responsible for the past generation, and we cannot bear the full responsibility for the next one, but we do have our generation. God will hold us responsible as to how we will fulfill our responsibilities to this age and take advantage of our opportunities. God will give us opportunities to share this message. He will give us opportunities to show those around us that God really has produced this incredible harvest in our lives. How will you respond? Now is the time. Today is the day. Do not harden your heart, as the author of Hebrews says." Jesus, we thank you that you have decided to teach us, that you care for us, that you love us. I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross and paid for my sin. You took on the penalty that I know I deserve. And I thank you, Jesus, that you offer that incredible gift of forgiveness and acceptance to all people who open their heart to receive the incredible message of your salvation, of your grace. Thank you for that, God. I pray that we would be as responsive hearers, that we would go and sow abundantly this incredible message of God's truth, and that we would rely on you, Lord, to grow our roots strong and deep so that we can be good, honest representatives for you in this lost and darkened world. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.